And good Wednesday morning. Welcome into the Chase and Big Joe show right here on 102.5 The Game. Give you a little time for the open so Robbie Stanley can get to the car. So we could heap praise on one Robbie Stanley. By the way, Robbie and Rexford, best sports show around. Nothing comes close to that. Chase McCabe still on assignment. In for Chase is the one and only Dr. Crane. And hello, behind the glass is Ian.
Hi.
Who's running things? Dr. Crane, good morning to you.
Good morning, Joe.
I see you overstepped your cue again.
Yeah. Come on, man. I'm excited.
You're excited because you got soccer tonight.
Yeah, and it's hump day.
It is hump day.
Everything is good today.
Who does Nashville SC have tonight?
DC United.
Oh, love them, the concert.
Yeah.
By the way, I go to the airport every once in a while, and I'll smoke a cigar and watch planes land.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw the DC United plane come in last night.
Did you? Was it wrapped in everything?
It was not.
Oh.
But they had a bunch of buses pull up, and it's where all the teams park when they come to town, and saw them deboard and get on the in the buses and head over to where they're going.
Well, they're probably going to a nice palatial hotel.
Probably. Who wins tonight?
Nashville. I think Nashville wins probably 2-1.
2-1? Oh, yeah. Okay.
Maybe 2-0.
2-0, right? Is DC United any good?
They're 12th in the Eastern Conference, so they're near the bottom of the barrel. But, you know, those are like I mentioned to you yesterday, those are the tough games that you got to go up against. Is when you come off a tough game against Philadelphia over the weekend and you come into a midweek fixture, as some people call it, DC United's not playing for anything in the league, so go after it in this tournament.
So this game tonight counts nothing in the MLS standings.
That is correct.
That is so insane.
It's another opportunity
to
win a championship.
That is so insane. And I'm not getting into it again because it made my head hurt yesterday.
Yeah. It's kind of like trying to win the AFC South while trying to win a Super Bowl. That's the best way to put it.
So I'm watching Channel 5 in the studio. They got scattered showers and storms tonight.
Uh-oh.
No lightning delays, please.
Yeah, I can't do that. Cannot do that.
Was there a lightning delay recently over there?
Yeah, for the Club World Cup. I think it was the Boca Juniors game. It was like a Wednesday 2 p.m. game. And there was like heat lightning. And they said, there's lightning in the area. We got to stop play. And they stopped for like almost an hour and a half.
Oh, sorry that the lightning interrupted your plans so that nobody was hit by lightning in the crowd.
But there was
sorry about that.
No, but there was no lightning that I could see in the area. I looked up. There was nothing.
That's it. It's okay.
I was thinking about that, though. It is weird how we've gone from 0 to 60 with the lightning delays.
Yeah.
Well, I have no problem with it.
I get it. It's a safety situation.
Yeah.
But, I mean, concerts and sporting events did not used to stop because of outdoor rain
and lightning. I remember in high school, there was a guy at a high school here in town that was killed during football practice, hit by lightning.
Yeah.
And that was like, and then after that, I was like, all right, anytime there's lightning within like 20 miles,
yeah,
done.
But
get
I
off
just,
the field.
You know, I just don't remember that happening a lot back in the day. I don't remember really long lightning delays. I don't remember outdoor concerts making everybody leave and then come back in.
That's a great point.
You know, I get it. I get it. It's probably the safe thing to do. But I just wonder where that kind of switched.
It confuses me because when I was at the game on that two Wednesdays ago, I was sitting down and I was luckily underneath I was in the bottom, you know, row or bottom bowl, and it kind of had that canopy over the second row. And I was sitting in a metal chair. Like everybody that was under the canopy was sitting in metal chairs. And yet they said, hey, it's lightning. And I was just, it didn't.
What does that mean?
You know, you get struck by lightning with a metal, you know. You're sitting in a metal
chair.
So
it's a good thing they stopped the game.
Well, yes, for a safety perspective, but no, because I'm sitting in if I'm sitting in a metal chair and those guys are on the field, like, come on. Well, just play.
Don't they?
I'm the one that's more risk than them.
But don't they take them off the field?
Yeah.
Okay.
You want rubber. Maybe they should just make the chairs all out of rubber.
Or just plastic.
Or old retires.
Maybe how about you not have a chair?
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
And sit your ass on the ground.
Or just stand and cheer all day.
Okay, I'm not doing that.
Some people did.
All right, so your social calendar was interrupted a bit for some lightning.
Yeah.
For a tad bit.
For a tad bit, yeah.
Back to your question, Ian. I went to dozens and dozens and dozens of concerts at Starwood. Not one time, and I remember a Buffett show, it poured nonstop, and I remember lightning.
Yeah.
And they did not say, hey, evacuate.
Yeah, I mean,
wow.
Yeah, okay. I'm not sure exactly when that kind of started to happen, but it's just something I was thinking about, mostly when they canceled Bonnaroo this year. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking about how old the Bonnaroo, how it's changed over the years. just in general. Some for the good, some for the bad.
Right.
But how there were times, you know, when it first started in the 2000s, where it was storming, it was pouring, and they would just play through it.
They would.
Now they make everybody evacuate Centaroo concert area, go back to your car, wait it out,
right,
and then you can go back into the concert, quote, venue part.
Holy cow, you are so right on that, Dave.
But I mean, I get it. I mean, I understand why they do it now.
Yeah.
But I just wonder, what was there a specific event that made them, made everybody kind of this industry standard to switch?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, there. I remember '03, the Titans had a preseason game versus Green Bay at Green Bay. That didn't end till 1 o'clock in the morning because of lightning up in Green Bay. And they played the game, but the lightning, and so that's back the earliest I remember the lightning. So hopefully your little lightning doesn't disrupt your plans this evening.
No, hopefully it won't. If it does, then, you know, be a big boy and suck it up.
Okay. So they're going to win tonight?
Yeah, they should win 2-1.
Okay, good.
Official prediction, that is.
It's about that time. Ian, are you ready? About the time for the All right, we are 45 days from the start of college football. 45 days from the college football kickoff on August 23rd. Now, Tennessee and Vandy and MTSU play August 30th. That's the next week, but there are games on the 20th. I feel like I got to say that every time because people argue with me. Like, I get it. But that's Saturday before games play. So it's 45 days out before the first game. Dr. Crane, you have a favorite number, 45.
I do. Ahmad Hall, former Tennessee Titan. You know, he served in the military along with playing football at the same time. Well, not same time, but, you know.
Kind of. He was still in the Marine Reserve Corps. Yeah.
So I just think if you're a fullback and you do that, that's just badass.
All 45s for the Titans that have played. Right now, it was Dante Foreman was 45, Jalston Fowler, 45, Ahmad Nudie. Hall. Nudie, that's right. Mm-hmm. I asked him one time why they called him Nudie, and he wouldn't answer me. He says, they have my teammates, and I ask a teammate why they call him Nudie. And then put it this way, if I was Jalston Fowler, I wouldn't wear pants. I would just walk around all day long. That guy was built like a you-know-what, man. And the teammates were like, yeah, he's Nudie for a reason. I was like, holy cow. This story won't air on the news tonight. We get all that. Who else? Dylan Cole, Chance Campbell.
Yeah, linebacker.
We're all 45s for Tennessee. As I lose my voice here. For John Simon was 45. Derek Mason remembers John
Ahmad
Simon.
Ahmad Hall was the first one that stuck out to me.
Yeah.
So I got a quick Ahmad Hall story for you.
Love it.
So they used to have a thing called Titans All Access. And so this was the Giants game in 2010. And Ahmad Hall's mic'd up. And Vince rolls out. Remember the play? Ahmad Hall's wide open in the end zone, and Vince throws a bounce pass to him. Awful. Vince Young could not throw the football at all, especially short, like 8-yard pass. So they said they go back to the sideline, and Ahmad Hall starts ripping Vince apart with the microphone. Basically said, hey, man, I got a contract year. I got to score touchdowns. This ain't helping me. And just went off on Vince Young. So much they – all the F-bombs and words, you couldn't use that anymore. So, Ahmad Hall, why are you turning your microphone off for?
Just, you know.
There you go.
For purpose.
That's all. You were good, man. So, Ahmad Hall always stood out that way because I remember him getting so mad over a bounce pass that Vince Young threw him. So, Ahmad Hall, 45. That's
they were teammates
one.
In college, too, weren't they?
They were teammates in college.
Yeah.
They had a weird relationship. I don't think they got along. Because Ahmad Hall is like 5 years older than everybody else.
Yeah, because I guess he went to the military and then came back, yeah.
But you tell that dude to go, says, I need you on this play to go hit the vendor in section 104. That dude would go hit the vendor in section 104. I mean, he did everything that you needed him to. He was great. Very underrated player.
Yeah.
Kind of walked on at Texas, walked on for the Titans.
I think fullbacks in general, it's an underrated position, not used as much anymore in football, which I wish it would. It's used as like an H-back now, isn't it?
Bring him back.
Yeah. Bring him back. Bring him back. What I mean, what would you consider Mike Allstott? Running back, fullback?
What's fullback?
Yeah, I mean, people look at Peyton Hillis as like a hybrid fullback, running back.
Allstott, you could put as a hybrid.
Yeah.
Who?
Allstott. I'd put him as a hybrid.
Mike Allstott? Could,
yeah, but I mean, he was built. He was built
like a fullback, that's for sure. Yeah.
And his title was fullback when he came out, so he was a fullback. And so were a lot of them. I mean, I'm trying to think. you know, Eddie George never had a fullback. Barry Sanders never had a fullback. Rocky Blyer was a fullback for Franco Harris with the Steelers. Like who?
Lorenzo Neal played a little fullback here, right?
Lorenzo Neal did, yeah. Heck yeah, he was a great fullback. He had 1,000 yards with the Saints. And then he got bulked up and became a fullback. Daryl Johnston for the Cowboys.
Oh, he's definitely up there as a famous fullback, yeah.
Big-time fullback.
Wow. Bring the position back. Just bring it back.
Number 48 was Daryl Johnston. Any more 45s you got over there?
Bob Gibson. St. Louis Cardinals.
Bob Gibson. Yeah, man.
Iconic. Let's see. Michael Jordan wore 45 after 23, right?
He did.
Yeah.
22 plus 3 is 5.
22 plus 3 is 5?
There's a reason he had 45, and I can't remember what it was.
It's a great question, Joe.
I don't remember.
I think 2 plus 3 is 5. I think that's what you're getting at, like 22 plus
maybe. 3. He was 45, though, for a little bit, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Bob Gibson, Anthony Davis, Donovan Mitchell, don't remember them. Most notably, Michael Jordan. Who was the Bears' safety? Was it Gary Fincik that was 45, or was he 46? Because they did the...
I don't recognize that name.
Yeah, can't help you on that one.
46 defense came after Gary Fincik. I think it was yesterday. Because Buddy Ryan named the 46 defense, which was a game-changing defense, 46 after Gary Fincik. I think it was 46. He was 45. 45 for the Bears.
Okay, nicely done.
Thank you so much with that. I get some things correct here.
Alexander Carrier, former Pred. Pred great, right. 45.
Alexander Carrier. That's a pretty good friend.
So that's not bad, yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, no other Preds really stick out, though. Carrier, but.
Is there, yeah, it's just so these numbers are. I love him because you think about. I totally forgot about Alexander Carrier. I totally forgot about him. And 45, yeah, Gary Fincik with the Bears. Doug Plank was 46. So remember old school Bob Gibson. I bet you're a big Bob Gibson fan over there.
Yeah.
Why?
Cardinal legend. You kidding me? Bob Gibson's great. Stan the Man. I mean, could go Andy Van Slyke, Tommy Herr, Vince Coleman. I mean, I'll list off the 82 team if you want me to.
Please.
Let's see. Tommy Herr, Ozzie Smith, Vince Coleman, Willie McGee. Let's see. I think John Tudor. Is that right?
I don't know. This is your list, buddy. No Googling.
I got to Google it.
No Googling.
I named about 6-7 guys there. That's half the lineup. Terry Pendleton, I believe.
Yeah, Terry Pendleton was on there.
Terry Pendleton?
Actually, Terry Pendleton ended up being National League MVP for the Braves in 91.
Oh, that was after his time in St. Louis.
Yeah, after his time in St. Louis.
Yeah, Cardinals always have had really good outfielders. And back then, I think Terry Pendleton played in middle infield and then played some outfield.
Was Keith Hernandez on that 82 team? No. Did he get traded?
Maybe.
Before that. I don't know. Now is the point of the show. We're like, oh, who guys do all that?
Well, we just started, Joe. Let's see. Keith Hernandez, 79, is that right?
I know he was a Cardinal, right?
Yeah, he was a Cardinal. He's in the Cardinals Hall of Fame. Didn't say.
He was.
74 to 83. Yeah, he was.
I was right, JoJo. Hey. And then he went to the Mets for 7 seasons. So, yeah, nice little career there for Keith Hernandez.
Finished with Cleveland.
Well done. 45. So, our 45, so I go Gary Fincik, and you go
Ahmad Hall,
Bob Gibson doing that. All right, off and running the show today, 9:30. John McClain will join us, and a lot of fun, a lot of football to get into today. Our question of the day, though, we always do the question of the day in our first segment because of summer. We want to know what your favorite summer job was, not when you're 34 years old. There's an age limit, like 23 and under. Your favorite summer job you ever had. 615-737-1025. You guys were great yesterday telling us about all these dive bars. That's why we love our text line. You can call in either one. We love talking to you guys about that. So your favorite summer job that you had, and usually some of these favorite summer jobs end up with you getting fired, which is kind of cool, but we want to hear about that right there. All right, we're in today. Dr. Crane in for Chase McCabe, who's out. This is the Chase and Big Joe Show right here, brought to you by the Omni Nashville Hotel on 102.5 The Game. All right, welcome back here to the Chase and Big Joe Show, 102.5 The Game, brought to you by the Omni Nashville Hotel in the Busy Bee Studio. Our question of the day is your favorite summer job you had growing up. Now that we put a time, put an age limit on this, 23 and under. So, Dr. Crane, what was your favorite summer job that you had?
Yeah, I was telling you in the break, I didn't have many summer jobs because I was playing football freshman year through senior year. All my summers were consumed with football practice. But the one I can recall was probably my summer after senior year going to be a freshman in college. Was like a camp counselor.
Okay.
And I was like the, not senior camp counselor, but for the older kids, like 13 and 14 year olds.
Yeah.
And I had to like schedule, you know, if we were going to go to the zoo this week or go on rollerblading or whatever, I had to do fun things like the jump houses and all that with all the trampolines and, all those little fun things, you know, the basketball hoops on trampolines and stuff. Those were fun.
Oh, nice. Ian, what was your favorite summer job, Bubba?
You know, that's a good question. My first job was, the movie theater. In high school, but I don't know if that wasn't necessarily a summer thing.
That's okay though.
You know, because I think I worked there more than just the summer. But my college summer job was pizza place.
Oh, here in town? Where'd you go to college?
Yeah, I went to Western.
Okay.
And then I was going to Western, and then I would on the summers I'd work at a pizza place. It was a local pizza place in the factory in Franklin.
What's it called?
It's no longer open. It was called Mateo's.
Mateo's
Pizza. Yeah, it was in the factory. I had a buddy who was working there. And then in the summer, I'd go back there, work, you know, or...
Simple times.
Yeah. And then sometimes on the weekends, I would actually come back and work sometimes if I really needed the money during college.
Did you ever eat dough just for S and gigs?
Raw dough?
Yeah.
No.
No?
No. All right. They made their own dough there, though.
Maybe that's where we went. I went wrong in my life.
You ate raw dough?
I'll eat raw cookie dough. I'll eat raw meat.
Well, raw cookie dough, yeah.
It's a different
story. I don't know about raw meat.
Yeah.
But you don't like the dough? I mean, I would eat the dough. I mean, I wouldn't eat like pound it, but it'd be like you take a little snipper of the dough.
Sure. Okay.
Yeah. You didn't do that?
No, I did not. No.
All right then.
Right. You ever had Blue Rare steak?
Have a good day. Blue Rare?
Yeah.
No.
They just sear the outsides of it. It's just raw in the middle. Now, that's good.
I bet so. But I don't like, I eat raw hamburger. I don't mind. I just load it up at Lowry's and eat it.
Excuse Look, man, me? Raw hamburger.
Yeah.
Sounds like the they do that in Wisconsin.
I do it all the time. I'm still here. Look how fit I am.
You are pretty fit. You are pretty fit.
Right. My favorite summer job, I was a valet parker at Opryland Hotel. I will say unequivocally that I was the worst employee the Opryland Hotel ever had. Valet parker. Let me tell you something, folks. When you valet park your car, they're going through everything. We went through everything in your car. They do it. Just know that's going to happen. We went through everything. And as a valet parker, it was the best. They'd pull a van one time pulled up. And give me a little Joe story time. I'll make it quick. A van pulled up one time, and a friend of mine says, hey, they got a full pizza in the back. I said, I'll meet you in the valet lot. We go to the valet lot, park the van, eat this entire pizza that they left. And one bite I took, the pizza sauce came down my valet uniform. I mean, it was massive. I mean, I was like, oh, man, I'm trying to get a huge stain, right? I walked back up to the portico at Opryland Hotel, and the family is standing there. The dad's standing there. He says, I swear to God, hey, man, we left a pizza in the van. Can we get it? I said, oh, yeah, let me run to the van and see real quick, right? So I go to the van. I'm like, what are we going to do? He's like, I don't know. You're the one with the pizza stain. My buddy said, that's okay. So I go back up. I said, hey, it's not there. I said, I think I saw your son bring it in. Because I handed something to him. I think it was a pizza. He's like, yeah, you probably did. He's forgetting everything. So thank you, whatever. And I'm like, man, and a guy gave me a $10 tip.
Oh.
Not only did I eat his pizza and I lied, he gave me $10.
You basically just ate a free pizza.
I got paid.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You got paid for eating the pizza.
Yeah. And then I never saw them again, so I avoided them. And so that was it. I mean, I was the worst. And one time I got Richard Dreyfuss a cab. He was in town for an event, and it was a very small cab. And I said, looks like you need a bigger cab. If you know the line from Jaws, we're going to need a bigger boat. And he looked at me, and he said, don't. And he's like 5'2". He just said, don't. And I started laughing. I mean, it's Richard Dreyfuss was ready to fight me. I was like, okay, well, whatever.
Joe picking fights with celebrities.
So yeah, it was the worst valet parker, worst employee Opryland Hotel ever had. Not, it doesn't come close over there. Kenny said he worked at Tipton Municipal Golf Course growing up, which I guess was really kind of cool. 0178, I was the operator of the riverboat cruise in the Delta for the Opryland Hotel for a summer. Had to memorize this really big speech that gave facts and figures about the hotel. Holy cow. I thought that was automated, though, 0178. I guess not. 8586, favorite summer job, unfortunately, was being deployed to the Middle East. Yikes. Thank you for your service there, man.
Yes, thank you.
Let's see. 1978, H15 at Just for Feet in Rivergate. Discount on Jordans and after hours basketball. 15-year-old me was living that summer. Oh, man. Just for Feet in Rivergate. When you buy tennis shoes, where do you buy tennis? Do you go to the mall and buy them?
No, I buy them off, like, the internet. Sometimes I go to, like, Fleet Feet. I think that's a place.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, so I don't go to the mall.
I have an issue with shoes on the internet. I got to try them on. I can't buy shoes online.
Dr. Crane, I mean, you can't hide money going to Fleet Feet.
Excuse me?
Can't hide money.
I don't know where I shop for shoes,
Joe. Can't hide money. I know. Fleet Feet's expensive. Good, but expensive.
I've only walked in there once. I mean, that shows you how much I buy shoes at a store. I just buy them off the internet.
So do you have to send them back? You have a problem with them?
Well, like normally the strategy is a buddy of mine's dad did this. He would buy two sizes that he knows on a regular basis. If you're an 8.5, you buy the 8.5. And then if it's too big or too small, you'd only buy a second size at the same time. So, you know, if you end up one size being too big or too small.
You return the other one?
Yeah, you return the other one and you get comp for it. So
what's the dad's name?
I don't know.
Smart.
Mark.
Mark. Yeah, just made that up.
No.
But that's smart.
No,
Mark is smart to do that.
Yeah, Mark is a smart.
D. Smith says, I worked as a lifeguard through high school and college at Gaylord Opryland Hotel after college for a couple of years. Also trained lifeguards. Enjoyed every minute. That's one job I would not want to be as a lifeguard.
No, too much responsibility.
Too much. Because now they when we were growing up, lifeguards, all they did was pick up girls.
Yeah.
They don't. I mean, they were like, oh, someone's drowning. I'll go save them. I mean, after. Yeah, they didn't. But now. I mean, they're scanning the pool left and right. I mean, it's, yeah, God bless them.
Yeah, there was one in our neighborhood. I mean, good for her, but she was, like, pacing the entire pool for, like, almost an hour straight.
Oh, wow. No way.
Yeah, when I was at that summer camp, we all had to get, like, CPR certified. We all had to be trained to be lifeguards. Luckily, I wasn't around the pool that much. I was in the pool because it was too hot.
Yeah.
I kind of lollygagged a little bit, but it's all right.
That's okay. Well, you're what, 15, 16, 17?
18.
18?
Yeah.
No, don't. Dude, you're 15.
15.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, I know the Y switches them every 15 minutes. They rotate, which is good. But, yeah, good job, Mr. Smith, because I couldn't do that. All right, keep them coming there, 615-737-1025. Up next, Dr. Crane, who do we have?
We have John McClain, the great John McClain.
Yep.
Out of Houston.
John McClain, you got your questions ready?
Oh, yeah.
Ready absolutely. To go? Yeah. All right. You're listening to the
Let's
Chase.
Do this thing.
You're listening to the Chase and Big Joe Show right here, 102.5 The Game.
Welcome back to the Chase and Big Joe Show. Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier alongside Big Joe Dubin, Ian Safar. Joe, joining us now is the great John McClain, presented by Maple Street Biscuits. Wake up to wow, as Owen Wilson would say. John, how you doing this morning?
I'm guessing Chase has never heard of Wally Pipp.
No.
It's a good thing he's the boss. After listening to Nick, he may need to work hard to get that job back.
Well done, John.
Thanks, John. Oh, man. Oh, sorry. I thought you were going, Joe. Excuse me. John, you know, I want to get into this a little bit. You mentioned, I saw online, something about the Arizona Cardinals and the away team is paying, what, $2,500? Is that correct? What could that kind of escalate to across the league?
I'm surprised more teams haven't thought of that. It's an exclusive private jet taking people that pay $2,500 each. It's two nights, Saturday and Sunday. They have all kind of things planned for them to make it exclusive. And of course, you got to have money, but there's a lot of people that got money who are fans, and I think yes. Maybe other teams have this and we just don't know about it. I've never heard of it, but I'll guarantee you others are thinking about it. And Jerry Jones is probably wondering why in the world he didn't come up with this idea first.
Do you think it'll be a flat rate if they end up adopting this across the league, or you think it'll just depend on each team?
I think if the Cardinals, as bad as they are, can get $2,500, what do you think the Eagles could get as the defending Super Bowl champion? What could the Cowboys get so people would say they went on a private jet paid for by Jerry Jones? The Cowboys have things right now where when the players walk back to the locker room, fans are right there on the other side of the glass waving at them, talking to them. They rent out their draft room for special events. They rent out their team auditorium for special events, and they're all sold out. And so, yes, I think you charge as much as you can get.
Smart job there. All right, talking to John McClain here on the Chase Big Joe Show. John, you know, I love the history of the National Football League, and there was a death that happened a few days ago, 2 days ago. Tim Rooney, the nephew of Art Rooney, passed away, longtime scouting director, you know, credited with finding Jack Lambert. I mean, you know, John, you dealt with guys like this, how invaluable they were. They don't get all the accolades, but a guy like Tim Rooney passing away, that I think that's a big deal because of what he did with the Steelers and draft and finding Jack Lambert and other guys. It was a special time in the league back then.
Yeah, he had a magical name of Rooney.
Yeah, right.
But he was always behind the scenes. You didn't hear much about him at all. And when you heard about Rooney's, it was members of the Rooney family who owned the team and who ran the team. But Tim, three franchises, he was always behind the scenes, and he was very well respected, and I think I read where he might have earned 6 Super Bowl rings considering he was with the Steelers and the Giants.
Yeah, I mean, just an iconic figure there in the scouting world. John, I'm sure you read the Kirk Cousins comments about he felt misled by the Atlanta Falcons after they drafted a quarterback. Is it me? It's really hard to feel sorry for a guy who's made over $100 million and also, John, at the same time, won only one playoff game in his career.
The odds are Michael Penix is not going to play 17 games. He's been hurt throughout his career. I think that he'll be the best backup quarterback in the league, certainly the highest paid. I think they didn't lie to him. They gave him too much money to know beyond a shadow of a doubt they were going to take Penix. But on the other hand, he signed in March. You know, the draft was late April. So they had to really like Penix at that point. But nobody's going to feel sorry for Kirk Cousins. And he acted like he would have stayed in Minnesota if indeed – he had known they were going to use the first pick on a quarterback, but hey, he can cry all the way to the bank.
John McClain's with us here on the Chase and McJoe Show. John, you know, Cam Ward being the first overall pick for the Titans this past offseason in the draft, coming into this upcoming season with the dead period they've had, you know, a lot of noise around Calvin Ridley, minus Calvin Ridley. I mean, do you think Cam Ward can succeed under this Titans offense? I mean, minus Calvin Ridley and other players on this roster?
Well, what they need is they need to have a really good defense, and then they need to have a really good running game, and they need to develop receivers. And Ridley's going to get a lot of double coverage, which is not good, but that would free up the other guys. And so I think it's a great opportunity for a free agent receiver like Lockett or a draft choice, a receiver, to step in there. I can't think of a team right now that has given wide receivers a better opportunity than the Titans are going to give them in Callahan's second season. And you'd like the Ward to have veteran receivers who have been consistently productive, but they obviously like their guys. They would have made more of an effort to bring in more receivers.
Could you see the Titans, if they end up getting into a situation where they're possibly looking at a wild card spot, add some guys via trade or before the trade deadline?
Boy, that's the first time I've heard anybody mention Titans and playoffs in the same sentence. And I think that if they get in a wild card, if they're in position to get a wild card berth, then that means those guys they've got have done a hell of a job. And barring injury, there wouldn't be any need to try to bring in other players because Brad Callahan would be leading candidate to be coach of the year in the NFL if that team goes from worst to a wild card berth.
John, we sit here on July 9th. You look at the AFC South with the Titans, Colts, Jags, and Texans. I mean, the Texans are the unanimous favorite, right?
Absolutely. They ought to run away with a bad division again, which they've done the last – well, they didn't run away with it 2 years ago. Remember, and this is one of the things I always liked about Vrabel, any team Vrabel coached had a chance of winning a game. That last game 2 years ago, all Jacksonville had to do was beat the Titans, who weren't going anywhere, in what turned out to be Vrabel's last game to win the AFC South. Texans would have been a wild card. So what happens? The Titans beat them, knock them out of the playoff, knock them down into the – I can't remember. They were a wild card, and Texans won the division.
Right.
And got to play at home. And so it was I think that was one of the most impressive things. If you can have a coach who could do that. You know, we don't know right now really what Callahan's capable of doing because he didn't have a good team and a lot of talent in his first season as head coach. Now he's got the most exciting rookie quarterback in the NFL. They've worked on the roster. I know people are fired up about it. But right now, to me, it's a battle for who's going to finish second, and it's wide open.
John, the reason why I asked you about the trade deadline with the Titans is just because I kind of see in my eyes that the Titans have that same trajectory as Houston did when they were in year one with C.J. Stroud. Do you kind of see that same similarity with the possibly action-packed quarterback coming into a team that doesn't have many assets but yet could still produce?
One of the things that happened was Stroud 2 years ago, they had wide receivers step up. Nico Collins had been hurt a lot of his first 2 years. I think he played 14 games and emerged as one of the best receivers in the league. That's what the Titans need, to have somebody step up and do like that. D'Amico Ryans, as a former defensive coach, did a great job coaching the defense in his first year. You know, they had been terrible for 3 years in a row, caught everybody off guard. But it wasn't just Stroud. A lot of players stepped up. They took advantage of a last-place schedule, and that's what the Titans have to do because they're not playing a first-place schedule now, and you have to take advantage of it when you have it. Key is, are they capable of doing it?
We'll have more with John McClain on the other side here on the Chase and Big Joe Show, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Back here on the Chase and Big Joe Show, Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier alongside Big Joe Dubin, Ian Safar, John McClain in Houston here joining us here on the show. John, kind of want to start off here with the L'Jarius Sneed update. You know, in my opinion, I don't think Titans are going to see much out of him this season. What do you think about the whole situation?
Well, I think if they don't see much out of him this season, he'll go down as one of the franchise's all-time busts, considering the high hopes they had for him and how well he played till the season before he got there. Hopefully he can contribute in some way because, you know, they were counting on him when they brought him in last season.
Yeah, absolutely. And to that point, we talked about before the break, if the Titans want to kind of replicate something that Houston did a couple seasons ago with C.J. Stroud having a solid defense, it just, without L'Jarius Sneed, I just don't see where the defensive production comes from.
Well, it better come from up front because if you don't have guys that can rush the passer, Deion Sanders can't cover receivers forever, and that was in his prime. So it looks to me like if they stay healthy, especially the interior, they can be really good. And if you get that pressure, it creates havoc, and it helps the DBs, and they're going to need help for the DBs. And if I'm Titans fans, I'm feeling pretty good about that defensive line, especially inside.
Oh, absolutely. John, we were talking, Nick and I, before the show about Titans players in the top 10 and certain things. The list came out, Jeremy Fowler. The executives got Jeffrey Simmons number 4 in the top 10 list. When you think about this franchise, and exclude Cam Ward from this for a second, who stands out to you? I know Simmons does, John, but you're watching this from the 5,000-foot view of this organization. And that's a problem I think the Titans have. They don't have these players who really stand out across the league except for a Jeffrey Simmons. Who stands out to you when you think about the Titans?
Now, you're talking about the current team?
Yes.
Well, truthfully, Simmons and Sweat. Sweat played really well as a rookie. Most players show their biggest improvement in the second season. Nobody needed to learn what it's like to be a pro more than he did, to get discipline in his diet and his workouts. I expect him to dominate. And so I'm not as familiar with each player as you guys are, So I don't know because I don't watch them on a daily basis. But right now, they don't have a lot of stars. They might have one with a second in the making, and maybe Cam Ward. And somebody's going to emerge. If somebody doesn't emerge, then they're going to get another high draft choice, and then they'll draft another star.
You know, John, they had the joint practices with the Buccaneers and with the Falcons. You've covered this a long time. How important is that for a Cam Ward? Because, you know, he's not going to play a lot in the exhibition games, and they're not going to bring a lot. But you've seen those 7-on-7s, 11-on-11s, John, and those joint practices where they bring the farm at the quarterback and everything. How vital are those practices, joint practices, for Cam Ward?
Well, they do that, Joe, but – you know, they don't hit them. And it's never going to be the same if you're not under the pressure of getting hit. Now, they'll see if he makes the right reads. The mental part is so important. Coaches love joint practices because they can orchestrate them. They can have that time down to a T. They can tell another coach what they'd like to see happen. If you don't mind, blitz them a little up the middle. You know, try to confuse it, and they want to see where he is because it's always different because the intensity level is turned up with the players. It's turned up with the fans. I think you get your best from your team and camp when fans are there, and then it's double when you get another team and the fans.
Well, you know, speaking of C.J. Stroud back in 23, when did you know, John, that – that Texans had something special in C.J. Stroud? Because that's what we're all looking for here in Nashville with Cam Ward. Like, all right, when are we going to know? When did you know about C.J. Stroud, John?
When Davis Mills was the starter, D'Amico Ryans didn't just put Stroud number one. Throughout the offseason program, he had Mills with the first team. He had Stroud with the second team. We constantly asked D'Amico Ryans about Stroud being the starter. He would never admit it. We knew it. We all said it. But he wanted to make sure Stroud showed all the players that he was capable of being the starter ahead of the incumbent, because people really respected Mills a lot, what he'd been through with losing teams and how tough he'd proven to be. And it wasn't until about 10 days before the season they elevated him. And I don't pay attention to what players do in camp and preseason because everything is vanilla. And I'm guessing it's maybe the second or third game that I thought this kid could be special, because hanging over his head was that test he took that said he wasn't good at recognizing things, and turned out he was great at it. And so I would say second or third game, and then when they started to win, I was shocked.
John McClain's here with us on the Jason McJoe Show. John, kind of shifting gears from the NFL to college football, July 1st hit, and already the NIL revenue sharing is underway with the 22% being distributed through ticket sales and so forth. How do you see all this playing out with the Power 4 schools in comparison to those G5 schools?
Well, one thing that's interesting, and I think a lot of people don't understand, you can still have collectives paying an offensive tackle $5.1 million like Texas Tech has done, thanks to a wealthy oil man, Cody Campbell. But when they do it, they have to do things. If you're signing them to make appearances and do endorsements, doing commercials, they got to do it. You can't just give it to them to show up, which is outside that budget. And I'm waiting to see if we have lawsuits, if we have Title IX lawsuits, because there's always attorneys. Attorneys always are going to get involved because football players are going to get most of it. It doesn't matter how good you are at baseball, even if you're a college team that, like the University of Tennessee or Vanderbilt, that's great. They're not bringing in revenue like football. So football's got to win, and there's going to be sports and players who feel like they're being shortchanged. There's going to be a lot of jealousy, and it's going to continue to be chaotic.
Yeah, you know, John, just reading up more about it, I believe that people are saying online, 75% of the power conference programs are expected for this revenue sharing to go to football. It just, I look at this as a, because you're bringing in general managers now in college football. I guess the money that is, you know, brought in through ticket sales and, you know, all that, TV partnerships, so forth, I feel like you should use that money for, you know, recruiting purposes to get players in and then kind of feeder that into the system and have your guys, like you're talking about with Texas Tech, already pay those guys through NIL Collective. I think that's the route it, in my opinion, is starting to trend towards.
Well, another thing, a player like, say, Arch Manning. Arch Manning could make endorsements off the field like Caitlin Clark. Companies come to him. I think I saw where he made $6 million. What was the number for Cooper Flagg? $28 million last year, did I see?
Something,
almost,
yeah.
All of it. Was almost all of it was money not given to him by anybody associated with Duke. You would see him doing national commercials. So players can still do that. And, you know, Arch Manning could clean up. Think how many companies would want him, therefore the Manning family, representing them. It's just him, how much time he wanted to devote to that. And that would be irrespective of what Texas Tech did.
Yeah, you know, John, somebody put out a comparison about Brock Purdy, what he's made in the first 4 years in the league. Of course, he got a big deal now, to what Arch Manning could make if he stays all 4 years at Texas. It's basically that if Arch Manning stays at Texas, he'll make probably what he would take him 5 to 6 years make in the National Football League. So with that being said, John, I'm starting to see guys who are going to stay in college football a little bit longer because that money is there that they're not going to make in the National Football League. And I think that's a good thing for college football in a small way.
We're always saying it, Joe. I wish we'd see more of it in basketball. Hey, one and dones. I'd love to see these great basketball players spend at least 2 seasons in college. Like, I don't think Cooper Flagg's making $28 million this year, but
right,
it puts him closer to the $250 million max rookie contract like Chet Holmgren agreed to. Chet Holmgren missed a full season, missed 30% of last season, and just got $250 million deal over 4 years. So that's the only drawback of staying, injury, of course, but you are not as close to getting the big money that you're going to get. I think Arch will stay probably 3 years. He'll stay 2 more years, and then he'll come with another year of eligibility. And because those guys that are great know they're going to be good, or at least have a chance to play pro football or basketball, they're not going to spend their whole time in college because they know there's a golden nugget out there that they can grab onto, and at some point it's going to be $300-$350 million that they're going to be getting, like they do those max contracts in the NBA.
John, appreciate the time as always. We will chat with you next week, and you know, tell the Astros to win a game tonight against the Guardians so they don't get swept.
Yeah, I'm glad. Nick, I'm glad you didn't get me started on the Astros. Thank you guys very much. Great talking to you, as always.
Thank you, John. John McClain, presented by Maple Street Biscuits. Wake up to WOW. Joe, how did you wake up to WOW?
Tonight? I did wake up to WOW every day.
Yeah.
And that's all we'll talk about.
Got a lot of WOW conversation going on in hour two. I'll say that.
Yeah, wake up to WOW. Yeah, we do.
Hey,
yeah, fun. Coming up to the 10 o'clock hour, we got a lot of fun for you coming up. A lot of football to get into, including, let's kind of go what we talked with John about. The Titans, a top 10 player in any position. I don't think they have a top 15 player in any position besides one Jeffrey Simmons. We'll discuss this.
There might be one position.
I don't think so, pal. Long snapper, maybe. All right, we'll take a break, come back. Fun second hour ahead right here on the Chase and Big Joe Show, brought to you by the Omni Nashville Hotel on 102.5 The Game.